Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Génération Podcast.
Génération Podcast.
Génération Podcast.
Génération
Podcast.
Génération.
Génération Podcast.
Podcast.
Génération Podcast.
Generation Podcast.
Welcome to Chapter 3 of Génération Podcast Season 4. In today's episode, I'm joined by Ariel Nissenblatt, who's no stranger to the podcasting world and absolutely no stranger to Génération Podcast, since she gave me the honor of joining us to open season 3 last year to share her journey and experiences in the podcasting industry. During our conversation, which took place at Podcast Movement 2023 in Denver, Ariel and I discussed the state of the podcasting industry and the significance of events like this conference, Podcast Movement. She shares her personal story of attending Podcast Movement for the very first time a few years ago as a free visitor, and she explains how it opened doors to her in the podcasting world. Together, we delve into the importance of networking, making connections, and the collaborative nature of the podcasting community, whether it's in France, in the US, or elsewhere. Between her very first time attending the conference and today, it's quite amazing. Ariel, you cannot walk anywhere with her. She gets pulled into so many conversations. Ariel has become a prominent figure in the field despite her background in nonprofit work, which should be unrelated. Ariel reveals valuable insights into podcast marketing strategies, and we talk about the importance of resilience and experimentation. Of course, we discuss one of her very favorite things, newsletters, including hers, the Earbud newsletter, her podcast recommendation newsletter. And Ariel explains to us how it serves as a powerful tool for creators like you listening today in order to discover a new podcast and to connect with a wider audience. But all this, she's going to say it much better than I will without my terrible accent. So without further ado, please discover my conversation with Ariel Nissenblatt at the Podcast Movement 2023 in Denver. Enjoy.
And we're recording.
All right. Hello, Ariel.
Hi.
Hello again. You opened the third season of Génération Podcast last year with me. And I'm so glad we get to meet in person. So thank you so much for making the time.
I'm so excited to be here. I love recording in person, and I do not get to do it very often.
Me too. All right, so what took you to Podcast Movement, and why have you been coming for all these years?
Oh, I love Podcast Movement. I've been coming every year since 2017.
Okay.
The first time I came to Podcast Movement, it was in Anaheim, California, just outside of LA. And
Disneyland.
I just, yeah, famous for Disneyland. And I was very new to podcasting. I just started my podcast recommendation newsletter a few months beforehand.
Okay.
And I was looking for any opportunity to meet other creators, podcasters, to really bring myself into the podcast space, the industry. And so I found out that this event was happening in Anaheim, and I lived not too far away. And I reached out to the founders, Dan and Jared, and I was like, would you let me come for free in exchange for advertising for the conference in my newsletter?
Oh, that's good.
And they said yes. And I went and I drove myself and I, you know, sat in traffic and I got there and I went 2 days in a row and I made so many friends, connections, went to all the swag tables and got all the free stuff and made connections that I am still in touch with to this day, connections that have led to jobs.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I've gone to every single podcast movement. Ever since. And I love it. And I just really love meeting people. And I really find people here to be unbelievably creative and collaborative and
accessible.
Yeah. And kind.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because you did not come from this industry. So maybe there was a change.
Yeah. I mean, weirdly, I came from nonprofits.
Yeah.
So you would think people should be nice in nonprofits, but yeah. I think they're nicer here.
So it's pretty incredible because how long did it take? 3 years. You came first, you know, like as a free visitor, trying to learn and connect with many people. And yesterday, I think you had, what, 7 sessions?
I had 5 panels. Yeah. I was on 5 panels or speaking. Yeah, the first year I came, I was just an attendee. I was walking around, going to sessions. Second year I came, I was an attendee, but I technically worked for, a studio in Los Angeles that sent me. Mm-hmm. It was not my full-time job. It was about 20, 30 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, 2019, in Orlando, Podcast Movement, that was the first time I was a speaker.
Right.
And I worked for CastBox, mm-hmm. the podcast listening app. So that was my first full-time job in the podcast space. So it took me 2 years-ish to get a full-time job in the podcast
space.
It's not bad at all, right?
Yeah.
But I really hustled. You know, I did everything I possibly could. I continued to do the newsletter, continued to just get on as many phone calls as people would take me.
Yeah.
And, since then, I've spoken in some form ever since.
And so, it's crazy. It's amazing, too. And I think that's something that's very proper to the U.S., you did not go to school for this. You didn't have a ton of experience. And yet here, you're here talking to us about podcast marketing.
Yeah.
What are your specialties? Can I say that? If I come to Ariel, what am I going to learn about?
I know a lot about marketing.
Yeah.
I know a lot about podcast marketing. And I don't just know a lot about podcast marketing. I also have a lot of ideas about podcast marketing. And honestly, marketing really is experimental.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about thinking outside the box, being willing to try things, being willing to fail, being willing to then innovate upon those failures mm-hmm. and figure out where to go from there. So I really think resiliency is a big skill set when it comes to podcast marketing. So I know a lot about podcast marketing. I know a lot about the key players in the industry, who's doing what, who's making what's trending, what you should be aware of as a creator, what other creators you should be aware of as a creator.
Yeah.
And then I also really like to keep up with creator tools. So software services, physical products that creators can and should be using, depending on the stage that they're at, depending on the genre of their podcast. That's something that I pride myself on keeping up with.
That's awesome. Last time we talked, I don't think you had feedback with earbuds yet.
No, earbuds, I found it in 2017.
No, but feedback.
Feedback with earbuds, the podcast, I did in 2019. But funny that you ask, because I've never put too much of an emphasis on it.
Okay.
My emphasis in my personal projects when it comes to podcasting is the newsletter. So earbuds is a newsletter that goes out every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Each week is curated by a different person. Anyone can curate a list. The podcast episode goes out on Tuesdays and is an audio version of the newsletter, but also with an interview.
With a
voice clip from the curator.
Right.
And I started that in 2019. The format has changed over the years, but everybody asks me, you know, do you want to grow the show? And honestly, my answer is no. I want to grow the newsletter.
Okay.
I really believe in the newsletter, and I'm just a really big fan of newsletters as a way for folks to discover new podcasts, newsletters as a way for creators to get their podcast out to new people. So I'm a big advocate for that.
So is that how you discovered yourself new podcasts?
Honestly, yeah. I'm subscribed to so many newsletters. I keep a list of newsletters, and I update it constantly. And
Do you keep up with that? Because, I mean, it's like a full-time job, almost reading
everything
that's out there.
I keep up with not only with newsletters, but I'm also friendly with the newsletter writers.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email chain, and we get together once a month to discuss best practices.
Oh, it's so
specifically
smart.
Podcast newsletter writers. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's a lot of us. And
can
some,
I join as a French newsletter on podcast?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, we meet every, I think it's Thursday, every third Thursday of the month.
Okay.
And we just, we get together, we share who we are, what we do, and then we also talk about best practices, what's working for you to grow your newsletter, what challenges you're facing, things like that. It's really great.
That's awesome. And people are really candid and like not seeing each other as competitors, like really like a good ecosystem.
That's really an important thing that we try to reinforce is that it could be easy to see each other as competitors, but why not just look at it from a mindset of collaboration?
And grow together.
And, you know, none of the newsletters are completely overlapping, so I think there's room for everybody.
That's awesome. Actually, I subscribe to a bunch of newsletters that you recommended over the years. Thank you. So just just going back to your podcast feedback, I'm just curious because you were talking about like how marketing is such an experiment and like trying new things. Can you tell me, like, I don't know, maybe over the last year or something like that, what is one thing that you tried that didn't really work and what you learned from it?
For marketing my podcast specifically?
Yeah.
Something that I have tried when it comes to marketing feedback with earbuds, I try audiograms.
Yeah.
And I like audiograms. I like putting them together.
Video with little clips.
Yeah, it's like a waveform or captions or an image, just an audio soundbite of the show in a video, in a visualized manner, right?
Right.
So I make those for every episode, and I'm not going to say they actively don't work because I don't believe that it's that easy. I think some things work more than others. Some things work less than others. And when I make audiograms, sometimes they get traction, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they lead people to go click on my podcast, sometimes they don't. But I still continue to make them because I like playing with the technology. And I always find that that's a fun thing to do in the podcast production process.
So you'd still recommend it?
Yeah, I do. I like audiograms a lot. I make them now on Descript, and they're super easy to make and to make in a fun way. You can add sound effects, you can add visuals, you can add graphics, you can add GIFs. It's a good time.
So how about you describe actually Descript, because I knew you as head of community for Squadcast, which was acquired last week by Descript. So yesterday, I did my due diligence. I went on the booth and I met Zach from Squadcast, who always emails us, right?
Yeah.
And so he explained a little more about Descript. Can you tell me more about it?
Yeah, Descript is an all-in-one editing platform, but it's going to be so much more now that Squadcast has been acquired. So now you can record your podcasts in Squadcast and then edit into Descript.
Yeah.
Right now, they're two separate apps, but in the coming months, they're going to be one app, and it's going to be all available within Descript, where you'll be able to record remotely with up to 10 guests, maybe even more in the future.
That's pretty great.
And then you'll be able to edit right away. And it's such a powerful editing tool. What you can do is edit podcasts like it's a Word doc. So it automatically transcribes your show, and then you can go in and backspace, delete, do whatever you need to do, and it just makes editing unbelievably easy, video and audio.
Yeah, because the big question, and that's one of the big questions, I'm sure it was already starting last year, right? But like, you're doing podcast, it's audio, should we move to video? And that's a tool that's making it kind of possible, right?
Exactly, yeah. It just makes it easy. If you're not somebody who feels comfortable editing video, you really don't have to be an expert at it in order to make a pretty high quality edited video.
Yeah, which is key.
Yeah.
So what's your take on that? Should we move to video? I know it's like a...
It's a good question. I think
that question.
The short answer is that it is worth it to be experimenting with shorter form videos if it is easy for you to be recording video. So if you use Squadcast, you're recording video. You can pretty easily download that video and then go play around with making some social assets on Descript.
Sounds good. The other big question is about AI. I attended one of your talks yesterday where you were also discussing the ethics of AI. Do you use AI yourself for your podcast?
I'm familiar with some tools that help in the process of creating social assets generated by AI. That I will do. When it comes to generating content, I'm less excited by that. I'm more skeptical of that.
In what way? What type of content? Like,
so I'm not going to go to ChatGPT and ask it to write out the outline of my next season because I want to do that as a human.
Yeah.
Because I speak directly to my listeners and I ask them what they want and I take direction like that.
And that's what they subscribe to.
I'm not willing yet to trust AI for that.
Okay.
Maybe ever. Who knows? I'm never going to say never.
Yeah. Okay. And one more question. You launched the Trailer Park podcast.
Yes,
can you tell
me
about this? I love the title. I love the cover. I love the podcast.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
Yes. I co-host a podcast called Trailer Park, the podcast Trailer Podcast. It is a show about audio teasers that are short, really trailers, intros, you know, short audio pieces that introduce larger podcasts or a series. And I co-host it with a guy named Tim Villegas. We met on the internet, which I love.
Oh, that's awesome.
And every episode we feature one trailer and then we talk about what we love or don't love about that trailer. And we try to give tips for creators. And we also try to introduce listeners to their next possible favorite podcast.
So it's both discovery and also learning about it. So what makes a good trailer?
What makes a good trailer
I
is...
I find it incredibly hard to make it not boring and like the same form.
I totally understand that. I think what makes a good trailer, the bare bones, is say your name, say who you are, say why you're the perfect person to be hosting the show. Tell us what the show is about. Tell us when to expect the show. And tell us when it's dropping. You know, tell us when to expect the show.
So efficient.
Will it be dropping? Yeah. Will it be dropping weekly? When should we expect it? Basically, set expectations for us.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you don't have to do all of that so obviously. Like, I'm not saying, hello, my name is this, and this is the name of my podcast. You can get more creative with it. But those are the things that should definitely be in your trailer. In order to make it a good trailer, I mean, this is such a cop-out answer, but I think go to your category on Apple Podcasts and go listen to trailers for other shows and see what they do that you like, see what they do that you don't like, and make something based off of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other hot take? Or
no, I'm all out of hot takes now, you know? That's it.
Okay.
That's what I've got. Thank you for having
me.
And that's it for today's show. Thank you so very much to Ariel Nissenblatt for making time for this conversation and really honestly for doing it despite the terrible migraine that she was suffering from that day. Thank you so much, Ariel. Thank you, dear listener. Thanks to you for staying tuned until the very end of this pretty short episode. I really hope you found the content valuable. If that's the case, please share this episode and talk about it on social media, on your company Slack, send it to your coworkers, best friends, or talk about it in your newsletter, since we were just talking about it. Everything counts a lot, and even though this is the very last season of Génération Podcast as is, spreading the word is a huge, tremendous help, as it helps shed light on my work. Plus, if you have another 10 seconds, head over onto Spotify or Apple Podcasts, leave a review and add 5 stars. It means the world to me, and I'm not just saying that, it really does. We've been talking about the Podcast Movement Conference quite a bit over the first 3 episodes of this season. How about we talk more about it? Next week, I'll be joined by Jared, one of the co-founders of Podcast Movement. We'll talk about the story behind Podcast Movement. And as we were talking about it today, the power of community, networking, and connecting really with peers, you'll see that that was the exact idea at the beginning, as Jared had his own podcast and he really just wanted to connect with people who spoke the same language as him. Make sure to subscribe to the show so that you don't miss next week's episode. Thank you so much for being here. I'll talk to you next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Salut, c'est Alexis Buisson. Je suis journaliste correspondant à New York pour plusieurs médias français et je travaille au sein de la rédaction de French Morning depuis 2007. À French Morning, j'aime vous raconter des histoires qui vont vous faire parler et réfléchir. Ces derniers mois, j'ai écrit sur les difficultés que rencontrent les migrants africains francophones à New York, la redécouverte par les Américains du compositeur français oublié, Joseph Bologne, ou encore l'avenir du français dans les universités américaines. Si vous souhaitez soutenir mon travail ainsi que celui de mes collègues, rendez-vous sur frenchmorning.com pour vous abonner.